Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm looking over the Housing Innovation Alliance. I see shout out to Dennis, who's putting this whole thing on, is walking through, and we're just about to kick this thing off. And last night we had an event with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, and I got to meet who we're going to interview today, and the story was super cool. And I was like, hey, you got to launch this thing off. You got to step up to the mic and be the first one. And he did that. So Gene Edelman is the founder of Azure Printed Homes. And we're going to unpack some really great conversation here at the Housing Innovation Alliance. And we're honored to be the official podcast working with them, where we're going to be doing a bunch of different podcasts, packaging them all together. We're recording this here in June 4th of 2024. Some of the days can be long and the years are short, as we went late last night to this morning and kicking this off. And sometime at the end of this year, we'll be taking all these conversations that we're having and molding and putting them all together into a deep dive series through the different master facilitators. And the main message of this podcast, tribe, is that 3D printing homes using recycled plastic. When he told me that last night, I was like, well, that's really cool. But the other thing is he really talked about how this is going to benefit you, is that we have to think and build differently. And as I always talk about, innovation cannot be done alone. You have to do it in the group. And Gene has been out there talking through that, and he talked through last night, and he can talk today about what he's done with HUD and how he's scaled. And from my perspective, I've heard a lot about different 3D printing options out there, but not a lot about scale. And at the end of the day, if you're going to do this stuff, you can't automate a crappy process. You have to automate a process to scale, right? And I want to learn how Gene is scaling this, and then really unpack from his point of view, what are some of the best models that what we've coined as system-built construction for utilizing 3D print in homes, and what are some of the best options for on-site and off-site. And at the end of the day, it's about blending those solutions with different options. So it's an honor to have Gene here live before we kick off this Housing Innovation Alliance conference here in Denver, Colorado, at the beautiful University of Denver. It was a perfect night last night, a beautiful sunny day here in Colorado. Gene, it's an honor to have you on the show. Let's kick this thing off with what is your favorite beverage?
Devin, well, thanks. First of all, thanks for doing reception last night and inviting me this morning. My favorite beverage is a Coke Zero, and it stems from when, before I left Soviet Union, I'll tell you more about it, my high school friend invited everybody to a party because he had a little bottle of Coke, and we had six guys drinking this hot bottle of Coke. Oh. I said, oh my goodness, what's so special about it? But now that I get it cold, I really enjoy it.
you really appreciate it. It's funny. It's what you can't have, you really want, right? Even if it's not. And I've asked that question. A lot of people have said it, but when they say Coke or a soda or pop type product, they're very particular about it, right? The temperature and all those things. Right. And that's what we're going to really unpack today, of like the different ways you can do that. But first, let's get to know a little bit more about you, Gene. What is your favorite place you've traveled?
I've been to 66 countries, and wow, just last week I came back from Mauritius. It's probably the furthest I've ever gone, 11,500 miles from home. It's an island east of Madagascar in Africa, and wow, it's a beautiful place. It's probably the best economy in Africa, 1.3 million people, democracy, no homeless, no crime, beautiful environment, lots of eco-resorts, just a magical place.
So really give us one story from that trip.
The story from that was when I heard about it, I was invited to speak at a conference for eco resorts. I said, yeah, I'll go. And then I took a look how long it gets there. It took me 30 hours to get there. But the nice part is I switched planes in Istanbul, and I got off the airport, and I have some friends in Turkey. So that was a nice bonus. And when I got there, I was just blown away. I think it's a place where dodo birds, you know, you've heard dodo yeah, birds were exterminated back in the 17th century. But that's the only place where dodo birds lived. And that was a signal of what we can do to our environment if we're not careful, right? Mm. Because they were the native birds, and now that they've experimented, there are like 50,000 monkeys on the island that were brought in from somewhere else, but there are no predators for them. So, you know, we got to be real careful with our ecosystem.
Well said.
And just the most gorgeous, gorgeous place. And there are 65 eco-resort developers, so a great group of people to spend 4 days with.
Love
I actually
it.
Have very little memory of the evenings, but the mornings were nice.
Well, what do you like to do outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah. I love hiking. I played soccer all my life, still do that, love doing that. And lately, I've been on the kick to visit as many eco-resorts, glamping resorts. It's something we sell to that industry. And I, you know, again, I just came back from, after a trip to Africa, I went to Arkansas in the middle of nowhere with just a beautiful company called Global Glamping, just an unbelievable evening in the woods with stars. Beautiful place.
Awesome. Well, it's an honor to have you here. Gene, what is your story that led you to being the co-founder of Azure Printed Homes?
Sure. So we immigrated to U.S. after high school, and while in college, I started developing real estate with my brother. I've been doing development for 30-plus years, and this is my Azure Print Homes is my fourth startup. After I sold my third one about 7 years ago, I moved back to Los Angeles, where we originally came, and I was looking for something to do. For a change, I didn't want to start a company, so I got a job as the chief operating officer of a large construction company. And so, while all these years I've been a developer, I was telling contractors what to do. Now I was a contractor, and I realized how difficult construction business is. And so during that process, I actually met somebody I hired as a consultant. He just came from the United Kingdom. He is a contractor, engineer. And after doing this for 18 months, I said, we got to do things differently. So we started with a simple, we had the three bullets on the blackboard, build faster, build cheaper, and less environmental impact. And that was kind of a grand vision for why we wanted to start a business. Had no idea how it's going to evolve.
All right. Well, this is going to be great stuff. Talk through, unpack the whole origin story of Azure and how the whole process works. Take the time, unpack all this, where we came from, where we are, and where we want to go here together when we turn off the mic here at the Housing Innovation Alliance.
Sure, sure. So in the beginning, we started building, actually Malibu had a lot of fires. So this was about 5 years ago. And so we were rebuilding homes. We thought that we could make a difference by using better technology, using, you know, making better hires, but it really wasn't making a difference. 6 months later, there was COVID. And so we started building a lot of ADUs and backyard studios in people's backyards. So in addition to challenges of just building in general, now we're building for clients who were sitting at home and watching our guys work or not work, right? So that's during that time we said we got to build offsite. You know, we got to build in the factory so we can maintain the schedules, maintain the cost, and more importantly, make sure that quality is there. So that was kind of a first light bulb. Let's figure out how to do it in the factory. And then during that time, even there were videos of 3D printing with cement. And I actually drove down to a site in Texas where they were building with cement, and it was pouring rain. So the things we wanted to get away with, not lose time on the construction site because of the weather. Here, it wasn't just the guys sitting in their trucks not working, but also a ton of very expensive equipment sitting there not working. So my partner and I kind of agreed that 3D printing is cool, but we got to figure out how to do it in the factory. The other thing is doing with cement is terrible for the environment. I mean, cement is what produces CO2. So we said, why not find another material to do it with? So that's kind of how we started.
Okay.
Step by step, we saw how plastic and recycled plastic was used in automotive and aerospace. They just didn't build as tall structures as we wanted to build. So we kind of zeroed in on that material, then borrowed and stole to get some initial equipment to build the first prototype. And when the prototype came out and we got some posting on social media, people just were in love with it because we could do curves. You know, the buildings look sexy.
Right? Yeah.
So the input we got, I mean, in our minds, it was not by any means perfect. And this was 2 years ago, but lots of interest. And everybody saw it. It's like, when can I get one? And people were starting placing deposits. So for a year, we did a couple of prototypes, one just a backyard studio, one a little ADU, and then started raising money. We funded all the initial R&D internally, just between two of us, because we've both had businesses before. But then we started raising money. We opened our first production facility last May, started making and shipping.
And where's that facility?
And that's in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where you live?
That's where I live.
Okay. Yeah.
And then during the year, we raised $5 million, which was very tough time to raise money in the last couple of years. But we just were convinced that this is the idea that is going to work. And so in March of this year, opened a much larger facility. We're now in a 20,000 square feet state-of-the-art facility. We have 3 printers. So we tripled our capacity and actively shipping. And so that's kind of where we are. Yeah.
So let's unpack tripled our capacity, 3 printers. Walk me through the printers, because we've had several podcasts around robotics and ways to automate, you know, and but you don't want to automate a crappy process, and what kind of robotics of Randec to Offsite Tech to all these different ABB podcasts we've done over the years.
Sure.
Talk through the evolution of you found a problem, but I heard you, what you're saying is let's figure out something that is a carbon help with recycling,
right.
But in the middle, you can do something that's kind of cool and sexy and maybe a weight thing or how the robotics work. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. We were hoping, because we're 2 construction guys. We didn't know anything about 3D printing. So we were hoping, our hope was to find off-the-shelf printers that we could just buy or lease and use them. And we ended up not being able to do that. We could not find things that would work in the factory that was compact, not super expensive. It's still expensive, but it's kind of within reason. And so we ended up putting together our own system. So the basic of the system is a robotic arm. It's your industrial robots. They're used in automotive and aerospace in and out. We connected it to an extruder. Extruder is a piece of equipment that melts the plastic. And then we needed to build our own platform. We built it ourselves. And then, of course, software. There are 2 pieces of software. One that basically takes a plan and converts it to something that can be print. And then the other piece of software, you know, basically manages. We have like 5 pieces of equipment, between the drum where the material goes in. There is a dryer because...
And so let's unpack the material. Where does the material come from, and so, what is used, and what do you have to do to make that work? Because you're saying recycled bottles, right?
Yeah. So we are not... producing the material ourselves. It's just too much of an undertaking. Ultimately, we might do that. But right now, there are plenty of companies that consolidate the material. So we develop our own formula through many, many trials. We've been printing for 2 years with the 4th generation of material.
Mm.
And so the formula, and it's really a lot of it up to now, was through trial and error. You print small part, you see how it does. And then you make changes. But the material is 65% PETG. PETG is plastic that's used for water bottles and plastic containers. So it's been tested for human safety. It also has it's waterproof, it's pestproof. it has a lot of good qualities that you're looking for in the construction material. It's also used sometimes in piping for the for water and sewer. So it's not totally new to the construction industry.
Okay.
And then we mix it with fiberglass. Fiberglass adds rigidity. When you come and touch the product, you would think that it's built from cement, you know, because fiberglass now replaces even iron rods and cement. So it's light.
So that's how, that was the secret sauce, getting the right composition of,
right.
You know, I'm in the window and door business. I've been seeing, you know, the extruders for windows for many years of like what they're doing, but just to do it in that window frame. But now you're making full wall
much
systems
bigger.
And
yeah.
You have to use pultruded fiberglass and different
and
composites
coming
together.
And then we have a couple other kind of secret sauce stuff.
Yeah.
You know, plastic fades. So we wanted to add the UV stabilizer so that, and we've developed.
Yeah, and the composition of the inside and outside too, right?
Yeah, actually it's. We print outside wall and inside wall, but on the inside of the unit, you don't see the inside wall. We basically cover it with a panel. So
okay. Inside
of the building is just like any house, and that's how we meet a lot of the ICC requirements. On the outside of the wall, it's actually a very cool finish. So people, not a single person still said, I don't like this finish. Let's cover it with something else.
So I want a couple questions there. So now you're bringing in kind of the sandwich, if you will, right? Of like, okay, how are you insulating it? How are you running MEPs and all those things? So if I heard you right, we're 3D printing an exterior shell.
Right.
Then you're putting the sandwich, and then you're printing the inside, which gets covered. Am I understanding this
right? Exactly right. And so while the outside, the exterior shell is very kind of straight. If you've seen some of our images or pictures. On the inside, we run these channels. We basically create channels, and that's where we put electric MEP, and then we fill with infill insulation. So the unit itself is very well insulated because we do, as a base model, R30, not only ceiling, but also on the side walls and the floor.
And the insulation is strictly doing what it's supposed to do, is insulating. You're not actually creating, because when you get into STC and air and water infiltration,
right,
you're now creating a full composition versus traditional ways that you have all these gaps.
Exactly right. So it's a solid structure. So
it's perfect if you make this perfect box, but yeah. You said you can do this curves and stuff, but how do you punch holes in this and put windows and doors as a window and door guy?
So basically the way we design this is we punch windows and doors in the front and the back of the unit, and those walls are not 3D printed. So we print the sides, the floor and the ceiling. And then the front and the back is open for customization. So a customer might want to have all windows, to have a beautiful view.
So whatever, if you're doing floor-to-ceiling glass or whatever, if you're going to fill it in off the punches, you're going to have to do some kind of facade and figure out how to
design. Yeah, we use a cement board or T111. Yeah. I mean, it really is, in that respect, it's traditional finish, but that's what makes it.
That's the flexible. That's the part of like what is the on-site and off-site kit of parts coming together.
Yeah, we actually do everything in the factory. So when we deliver the unit, it's totally finished. It just needs to be attached to foundation and attached to utilities. So we basically do the whole thing. To print, we do it in one day. I mean, if you can imagine a module that's 100 to 180 square feet, it takes 3 months to build anything, right?
Yeah.
And now we can do it in one day. And then... to do all the interior finishes, if there is no water and sewer, so if it's like a backyard studio, it takes 4 days. If it's including the water and sewer and kitchen, we do it in 3 weeks. So you can literally order a unit today, and I will deliver it to you here in Denver in 4 weeks.
And that gets me really excited, but also you said, well, IECC and the different municipalities, and that's one of the things I'm most excited about this conference today is that we have Governor Polis and the mayor and the whole team's coming here to talk about how the state of Colorado here is really getting behind to say, okay, how can we build differently and use different innovations like what you're doing?
Sure.
And this is where the gooey middle all has to clash and come together. I always talk about when it comes to turning snowflakes and unicorns into scaling system-built construction, you first off got to meet the industry where it is and understand the challenges. Number two, you got to meet the people within that industry where they are.
Sure.
And number three, that I think is the part that where it all falls off the tracks, is the municipalities.
Yeah.
And so those three things, we have to address those, and that's where we're coming here to talk through. And it's an honor for me to lead these podcasts on the mic, but also the who and the what coming together to say, you have the foundation ready. We can set it in a day as long as the municipalities, the people on site in Colorado know how to do it, and they understand how Azure fits into the art of construction through the master facilitators.
Well, the big advantage of building in a factory is now you don't need to deal as much with local municipalities. You deal with the state approvals. And that was probably the main reason we chose to do in the factory. You know, to convince 20,000 building departments around the country that this will work is going to be very difficult.
100%.
Much easier to convince 50 regulators of the state level, and 20 of the 50 already allow third-party inspection and approval.
So unpack that a little bit. Like, so you presented at HUD, and you've been in front of all that stuff, right? So if I'm hearing you right, instead of a bottom-up, you're really having to take a top-down approach to be able to get these to actually putting in properties and making it work.
I think what helped us the most to get as far as we have and accelerate now is the fact that we're construction people, decide to figure out new technology. There's been a lot of people, unfortunately, with some big splash failures. People who came from technology trying to do construction. Yeah. We thought about
looking for a problem versus what is the problem to solve.
We knew the problem is we started to focus on permitting before we printed the first structure. So we worked with ICC on acceptance criteria. So we worked with them way before we printed the first product to see what criteria do we need to meet in order to be able to do this. And then secondly, we chose to work initially in the States. California, amazingly, is one of them, but so many others that allow third-party inspection, third-party approval. So you have professional inspectors who can inspect what you have, see whether you meet the criteria, and authorized by the state to approve it. Colorado is one step away from that. So Colorado allows third-party inspection, but doesn't allow third-party approvals yet. And I think that's what's going to be talked about in the next couple of days. If California allows it, Texas, Florida, all of the all of the highly regulated
states.
It's not
states. If, it's when. And that's why we're out here in front of it, to try to pull everybody around and push the municipalities where we need to push, right?
Yeah. And back to municipalities. Municipalities still have to approve the utilities and foundations. But what I find in California, people, when they hear factory made, they love it. Because they don't need to walk into inside the building. They can approve the foundation, they can approve utilities very quickly, and then state give us approval. The building leaves our factory with a state approval. So when it arrives, once inspector sees that it's been attached properly and utilities are attached properly, somebody can move in. So it's a huge... So, you know, I'm so glad you reminded me of this, because when people say, why do it in the factory, that's the biggest advantage of 3D printing in the factory versus on site, is I don't need to convince local city or municipality official.
Yeah, and especially if a lot of like ADUs, or at the beginning of this, you talked about you've been going to a lot of these glamping or different areas, like different jurisdiction, not to knock them, they just may have, they're so understaffed and they don't know anything about
this.
So how can they help?
And they don't have the expertise. I mean, to expect them, you cannot imagine what, I mean, we've been printing for 2 years, been working on this for 5 years. How many global conferences we've gone to, how many you know, places, how many people we've talked with all over the globe to 100%. Figure out to where we are. Yeah. It's impossible to expect a local building official to do the same thing.
Well, what a way to kick off this conference. What a wonderful first podcast for the Housing Innovation Alliance. Big shout out to Dennis and the crew. That what a great group of individuals put together last night. It was just getting it going, and today we're launched this thing. What an honor to have met you and have you here, and you're part of the Pitch Fest, right, today, that there's all these amazing new platforms and companies that we're going to continue to evolve and get you all into the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community to drive innovation as a whole. But the question that we always ask as we work on closing this thing out, Gene, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
Yeah. I really believe 3D printing is going to be, I mean, when you build so much faster, you can build less expensive, and when you can reduce the environmental impact, I mean, you check so many boxes. I mean, you know, if you look at the history of kind of successes and failure in real estate from the development side, timing is what screws up most of, you know, you start a project when interest rates are low, you finish the project, interest rates are high. You start the project when the economy is good, you finish the project, the economy is bad. And why is there a delay? It's because it took so long to build.
Yeah.
Now, you know, somebody, I mean, and it happens almost every week. Somebody has an idea, they call us, they go in the configurator, it takes them less than half an hour to order the unit. 4 weeks later, they're renting it. That's the future. And now, U.S. has to jump in. You know, Dubai is now saying that 50% of their buildings by 2030 will be 3D printed.
Wow.
We got to get ahead of it. You know, not just by saying, yeah, we'll try to adapt to it. We got to get ahead of it.
Wow.
And so I really believe that 3D printing, we're going to see it throughout.
Love it. Well, the final question, Gene, thank you for stepping up to the mic. What an honor to get to know you. What is that one thing for builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I really think it's back to what I talked about. You know, I'm not saying that doing it with plastic is the only way to do it. There are people who are using now wood material, the 3D printing. I just encourage builders and developers. Construction industry has been very slow to innovate. Look, 100 years ago, it took a guy with a hammer and a nail to build a house. Still does. Auto industry, we used to have a horse and a buggy, and now we are EV vehicles. I mean, it's like, what other industry has been innovating so slow? So we got to get off, we've always done it this way, and find new ways to do it, because if we don't do it, somebody else will. So got to just say, the fact that we've been doing it for so long doesn't mean that that's the way it needs to happen in the future.
I love it. Well, Gene, let's go do this and join this conference and have as much fun as possible, huh?
Devin, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for spreading the word.
Awesome. Crush it out there, Tribe.